Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Tyrus.
I'm Liz Claman.
I'm Greg Jarrett. And this is the Fox News Rundown.
Wednesday, April 5th, 2023. I'm John Saucier. It's been a busy week so far for NATO, which on Tuesday formally welcomed in a new member, Finland. Russia, they were not happy with this move, but of course, they've got the whole war in Ukraine, which largely has been a stalemate so far.
This is a very big deal that Russia has driven these two countries that had been perfectly happy being neutral into the alliance in order to be safe. It's also a very important benchmark for Ukraine.
This is the Fox News Rundown. Evening edition.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Russian President Vladimir Putin doesn't want NATO on his doorstep. Part of the reason he says Russia's invaded Ukraine. But what has now happened is that NATO has become even bigger. Finland has decided to join the military alliance as more countries give more aid to Ukraine. Putin not just standing by, though. He's ordered tactical nuclear weapons moved closer to Ukraine within the nearby country of Belarus. So should we be worried about this?
I'm really not concerned. Several reasons.
We're speaking today with Kurt Volker, who served as ambassador to NATO under President George W. Bush and acted as special representative for Ukraine under former President Trump.
First thing, these are the same nuclear weapons that were already there existing in Russia. They're under the same command and control. That is, the Russians are maintaining command and control. And the difference in terms of location is about 100 miles from where they were, 200 miles from where they were. I don't think this is that big a deal. As with anything the Russians say, the issue is not to listen to what they're saying. It's to ask yourself, why are they saying it? And they're saying this. They're bringing up the nuclear issue again because they're losing on the ground in Ukraine. They have exhausted their military forces. They don't have enough people. They don't have enough equipment. They are not able to advance. And so to distract from that and to make himself look like he still is a strong man, Putin announces that he's moving some nuclear weapons around.
Got it. So more posturing for Putin, something we've seen a lot of. As far as that meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping, I just kind of want to get your take on the whole thing. How do you think China plays into this war in Ukraine? Do you think that they have a real interest in supporting Russia? Are they there to oppose America? What was your takeaway from that meeting?
I think that what was very clear from the optics of all of that is that China doesn't need Russia. Russia needs China. And China is not helping Ukraine materially in its war against Ukraine because it's not China's interest to do so. China wants to build a new world order around itself. If Russia wants to be a contributor and a supporter of that, that's great. But China doesn't owe Russia anything. And in fact, I think China wants to watch out for its economic interests, particularly its trade with the U.S. and European Union. That's where the real money is. I think they want to be part of Ukraine's reconstruction projects as well. So he went to Moscow and said, look, you know, we're great friends, but that doesn't mean we're going to give you arms. It doesn't mean we're going to support you in the war in Ukraine. They have actually positioned themselves as a so-called honest broker, if you would. Russia's attacking Ukraine. The U.S. is helping Ukraine defend itself. China comes up with a peace plan. It says, hey, you know, here's 12 points, respect sovereignty and territorial integrity, among other things. They're trying to position themselves as outside of this rather than inside of this.
Yeah, and within that peace plan, part of it called for a temporary ceasefire, something that Ukraine pushed back against. The United States pushed back against it as well. The whole idea here was that if the Ukrainian army laid down their arms for a period of time, it might give Russia a chance to regroup and then attack again. Are you kind of in that same idea with what the Pentagon had to say? So not supportive of the ceasefire
at
this time.
Yeah, completely agree with the U.S. position on this, which is that telling the Ukrainians to have a ceasefire in place is just rewarding Russian aggression and giving Russia a chance to regroup. What was missing in the Chinese plan was an explicit statement that says Russia has to withdraw its forces from Ukraine. They did say that Russia has to respect sovereignty and territorial integrity, which implies getting out of Ukraine. But the sequence here has to be get your forces out of Ukraine first, and then there can be a ceasefire.
All right, we talked about Xi Jinping going to Russia. There's another world leader who was on the move. It was the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. He's in Poland and saying thank you to them. Obviously, that country has helped out in big ways, not only militarily, but also with humanitarian ideals. Also, millions of Ukrainians have left that country and gone to Poland. Just how important is Poland in this war?
It is critically important. It is the lifeline for Ukraine. It's the way everybody is getting in and out of Ukraine for the most part. It is the way weapons and equipment are getting shipped into Ukraine. Training facilities are there. And Ukrainians who have had to leave Ukraine for their own safety largely have gone out to Poland and then from there, potentially other places as well. So it is critically important for Ukraine. And I think Zelensky recognizes that. The Ukrainian people recognize that. And the flip side is also true. Remember, Ukraine is the front line in defending Europe against Russian imperialism. And remember, Russia, in the form of the Soviet Union, dominated all of Central and Eastern Europe. They imposed a communist government on Poland. The Poles understand very well that Ukraine needs to win this war, because if they don't, then Poland becomes a front line against Russia. So it is a mutual interest and a great deal of mutual respect. And one final point on this, John, this has dramatically elevated Poland's importance within NATO. You can't look at this anymore without thinking that the center of gravity in NATO has shifted east. You now have Ukraine with probably the best equipped and experienced military force in Europe. And you've got Poland with probably the most serious investment in military capacity in NATO right now.
Over a year into this war in Ukraine, and NATO seems to be stronger now than when it started. Much of that has to do with Finland being admitted to the military alliance. Our guest today is Ambassador Kurt Volker. He was a former ambassador to NATO, former special representative for Ukraine, and now is at the Center for European Policy Analysis. And we're talking about the new NATO member, Finland, and what it means going forward, specifically in this war. Coming up, we'll talk more about NATO, Ukraine, and how politics in the United States could react. Stay tuned for more next. Kurt, NATO has done a lot of news this week. Obviously, there's the war in Ukraine, which everyone is concerned about, but they accepted a new member, Finland, which applied for membership after Russia had attacked Ukraine. Obviously, a move to try and protect themselves. How significant is it with NATO adding another country that just happens to be in this area?
This is critically important. This opens, closes a border with Russia, which had been in place. The Finns had defended themselves against the Soviet Union in the Winter War during part of World War II, and then have basically been a neutral country with their own defense forces, but always taking a cautious approach to dealing with Russia. And now that Russia has opened up military use in Europe, they've let the genie out of the bottle. The Finns have said neutrality is not enough. We've got to be a part of NATO in order to be safe. The Swedes did the same thing, breaking with a 200-year tradition of non-alignment for Sweden. So this is a very big deal that Russia has driven these two countries that had been perfectly happy being neutral into the alliance in order to be safe. It's also a very important benchmark for Ukraine. We can't go to Ukraine and say, well, you be armed and strong and neutral and you'll be safe. The Ukrainians say, look at Finland, look at Sweden. They know that's not true. Don't tell us that that's true.
Yeah, especially since Ukraine is pushing for a NATO membership, and they have been for a while. Obviously, they're not in it, but I think you make a pretty good point about Ukraine can look towards them and say that thing. You mentioned Sweden as well. They have not been admitted to NATO yet. There's a hang up here as Turkey, as currently at least, is opposing their membership into NATO. What do you think it's going to take for Sweden to be able to finally join NATO?
Well, first off, you know, the fact that Finland joined is already good. The Turks approved Finnish membership. The Turkish parliament voted in favor of that. That's already good. That enhances security for Sweden as it is. What Turkey is concerned about are Kurds who live in Sweden, maybe Swedish citizens or residents, who support Kurdish groups that the Turks consider to be terrorists, the PKK in particular, who have carried out terrorist attacks in Turkey. So Sweden doesn't agree with this. Sweden says, look, we are not and we will not allow our country to be a haven for terrorists. So I don't think they disagree on principle, but they disagree on practice and people to some degree. That's something that the Swedes and the Turks are going to be working out probably after Erdogan's election later this year. I think he wants to position himself still as a strong man fighting terrorism and standing up to others as he goes into this Turkish election. But I think that after that, there will be a way forward for Sweden to get cleared as well.
Next year, we're going to have an American election, and there's been some underlying currents, at least within the Republican Party. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy with a comment about there's no blank check to Ukraine. Say the power shifts in the United States of America, and maybe we get a Republican president or we get Republican majorities in either house. How concerning is that for Ukraine if this war is still going on?
Yeah, I think Republicans are getting a bad rap here, because saying that there ought to be transparency and accountability, i.e. no blank check, I think is perfectly fair. That is the role of Congress, to provide oversight and to make sure that we're watching on behalf of the American people where our assistance is going, what it is being used for. That's perfectly fair. That is not the same thing as cutting off aid to Ukraine, which I think would be a huge mistake. We need to support Ukraine. Ukraine is defending itself, and they're defending Europe, and they're defending freedom. And if the war isn't won by Ukraine, then we're going to have a bigger war. It's going to affect more people. We're going to get more directly involved. So our support to Ukraine is critically important. And I think it's right to say that we need to have transparency and accountability and oversight of that as we do it.
Very fair. And also, just to point out the fact that the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has been an adamant supporter of aid for Ukraine, as have many other Republicans as well. So just kind
of agree. Let me add a point to this, if I could, because I think we're going to face a dynamic similar to what happened in 1995 and 96 in the upcoming election. And let me explain what that was. Back in the first term of the Clinton administration, the United States was not supporting NATO enlargement, NATO membership for Poland, for the Czech Republic, and for Hungary. And look how critical it is that Poland is now a member of NATO. But we weren't supporting that in the early 90s. We were against it. And Bob Dole, Republican presidential candidate, came forward and said, you know what? We should support NATO membership for Poland, Czech Republic, Hungary. And part of that was electoral math, looking for the Central and East European voters in places like Ohio. So not to be outflanked, Bill Clinton, running for a second term, also came out in favor of NATO enlargement, NATO membership for Poland, the Czech Republic, in order to neutralize this issue politically. I think we could and should see the similar dynamic in next year's presidential election. We're going to have to provide security guarantees for Ukraine anyway at the end of this war. Why on earth should the United States do that alone? We should insist that our NATO allies come out and pledge to defend Ukraine in the future as well. And that means NATO membership for Ukraine. And I'd love to see a Republican candidate get out there and make that case first and bring the Democratic administration along.
A lot of time to go in this election cycle, so we will see how it all progresses. Fantastic point, and great talk to Ambassador Kurt Volker, former ambassador to NATO under George W. Bush, former representative for Ukraine under former President Donald Trump. We appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks for joining us here on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.